Hi there, House Culture listener. If you enjoy this episode or have enjoyed listening to other episodes in our series, please support and donate to us through the Acast supporter feature. All donations will help us create the content that you love listening to. You can decide how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So it could be a one-off, and every now and then, or once every time you listen, it's really up to you. Click on the supporter link in the episode description, and with Google or Apple Pay, it will take you less than 30 seconds to make your contribution.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Katie Goodman, and you're listening to the House Culture Podcast.
House Culture.
Hello everybody, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the House Culture Podcast, hosted by me, the managing editor at House Culture, Matt Rouse. This is your place to hear club culture conversations with your favourite DJs, artists and promoters. And as always, I'd like to extend my gratitude for seeking us out and lending us your ears for the next hour or so. For those that might be new to the show, we are House Culture, a collective of house music fans who have come together through their mutual love of the beat to celebrate the spirit of house music. Instagram is where it all started for us, so head on over there to us at HouseCultureNet and claim your spot on that virtual dance floor amongst 200,000 other party people. We've also got our extensive back catalogue of episodes that you can listen to wherever you get your podcasts. Our latest series has featured such legends as Todd Terry, Chris Lake and Mark Knight. And if you go back even further, you can listen to people like Fatboy Slim, Purple Disco Machine, Josh Butler and Bongo Ben tell us their stories in their own words. We're pretty discerning here at House Culture when it comes to our guests. We make sure everyone we have sat down with has an interesting and fascinating story to share. So even if you don't recognise the name, give it a try, as I'm sure you'll learn something new about our wonderful club culture community. In this episode, we sat down with Glitterbox resident DJ and Defected Records employee Katie Goodman. In this extremely down-to-earth chat, we learn how Katie found her people.
I just hated going out. I remember like going to uni, everyone getting like pissed up on WKD and like singing their hearts out to Wonderwall, and I just used to look around and think I do not fit in here, until I found house music and kind of gives you a purpose for going out, I think, when you start going for the music.
How she landed her dream job at Defected Records.
I wanted to work for Defected, and I used to just bug Simon Dunmore because I met him in Ibiza when I was 18, asked for his email address. And his best advice was just like, just try and get a foot in the door somehow.
What it's like to be in the booth when entertaining one of the best dance floors in Ibiza.
The Wild Corner is like this space where you can do what you want. There's this moment where I look up and I'm like, you're not going anywhere. It's us, it's me, you lot, for the next 3 hours. I've got some treats and we're just going to have a real good time.
And how important it is to acknowledge the history of our scene.
I see the scene as a special place still and creates so many memories. And I think it's important that people still remember how it started and where it came from.
I hope you enjoy this one. This is Katie Goodman.
House Culture.
Okay, I'm sat here in the basement at the headquarters of Defected Records, and sat opposite me is a DJ whose track selection marks them out as a real student of our scene and whose technical wizardry behind the decks can be witnessed at events like Glitterbox and Defected Zone Croatia Festival. Her name is Katie Goodman, and I'd like to welcome her to the House Culture Podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We always like to roll things back at the very beginning, start where it all started for you. Tell us about where you grew up, what kind of household was it, and how you kind of discovered music.
Okay, where I grew up. So you can probably tell I'm from Essex. Unfortunately, it's quite clear. And I grew up in Romford. And I guess I kind of follow my brother around with everything he does. And he got me into music first. Although I don't know if maybe I found Defected before he did. Mm-hmm. But my household wasn't very musical. My dad liked to party. I don't think he cared what was playing. Could have been like no soundtrack at all. Mm-hmm. Mum apparently thinks she was into Northern Soul, but I think she's just trying to be cool now. I don't really think. She says she used to go to the old Northern Soul raves, but no, I think she's just seen a few like throwback films and wants to be part of that crowd. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have like much musical influence growing up. And then I guess like everyone in 2011 era, 12 era, I found EDM.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so was that through your brother? Because a lot of people that we speak to often have, and myself included, have like an older sibling.
Yeah.
They're like your guide and intro.
Jamie, I think it was at Ministry of Sound. Everyone started going there. Mm-hmm. And like the big nights were like Tiesto and mm-hmm. like the big EDM nights. And then obviously everyone does their first Ibiza trip. Mm-hmm. My brother did his first. And then, yeah, I shortly followed at 18. And yeah, so I'd say he got me into it. And plus, I mean, we had the best that era, what, 2010 to 2015, mm-hmm. was sort of like the pinnacle of everything, because you had EDM was still melodic and great. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Hot Creations and Jamie Jones and all that was just coming in. And so it was hard to not be part of it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I know that I'm skipping forward a little bit in terms of, like, the choices that you've made for the playlist, but there's, like, don't spoil it yet, but no. One of your choices, you're like, it is a bit EDM, don't judge me.
It was the first thing that came into my head when I thought, what was the first song that, like, I used to go out clubbing? We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, EDM popped into my head.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's been an amazing kind of gateway for everyone, and now the scene's kind of really matured beyond that.
I think,
you know, you've got a lot of people got a lot of people into it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still like listening to a little Avicii podcast every now and again. Who doesn't?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, so you were talking about that first Ibiza trip, and, you know, what was your kind of clubbing life like before that? In and around Essex.
Do you know what? I think this is why I like music so much, and why I've got addicted to like Defected and house music when I found it. I just hated going out. Mm-hmm. I remember like going to uni, and like I only went for a few months. I left, and like everyone getting like pissed up on WKD and like singing their hearts out to Wonderwall, and I just used to look around and think, I do not fit in here.
Yeah,
I just couldn't. Like, I mean, I had a house rabbit. Right, I know that sounds irrelevant, but I remember the reason it's relevant is because I remember being like 17, 18, and everyone used to go out to like the local Romford clubs, and my excuse would be like I couldn't go because I had to like look after my house rabbit called Kiara from Lion King. I know, it's such a cute name. But so I think like I just despise like the whole like just going out for the sake of it and mm-hmm. not really knowing why you're there, and you look around and you think, does anyone really want to be here?
Yeah.
And so like it was basically non-existent until I found house music. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it kind of gives you a purpose for going out, I think.
Yeah.
When you start going for the music.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Instead of just like going out to like your local to get pissed up.
And so when you went to Ibiza, you were with your brother when you went
no,
out there?
No, I went, I don't, you know what, I don't know if I did go before him, because I remember he went with his friend Danny, and I think they went after. I think I might have gone first.
You were the trailblazer.
I think I might have been. Oh, it was. I look back now. My best one was when I went the next time alone with my best friend, and then we'd found Deep House. The first year was just chaotic. I was staying at Ibiza Rocks, no judgment here. Ibiza Rocks is great. Uh-huh. And yeah, I think my itinerary consisted of Tiesto at Pasha, mm-hmm. Swedish House at Ushuaia. I mean, I'd still go back to everyone. Swedish House are legendary. Mm-hmm. Just pure EDM.
Yeah.
But I'd tell you what, there was a split with our group, and it was like the people that hung around Sanan and wanted to hang around, you know, at the bars that don't have the DJs.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like when I established, like, that I really liked the scene and, like, yeah, not just going out for the sake of it.
And when you look back on those days, considering where you kind of are now in terms of what the island is like and comparing it to those days, has it changed much for you during that era, do you think?
I mean, it's really hard because I haven't been as a fan for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I've gone out lately, it's been to play or to work. And so I don't really get to see it through the eyes of, like, just being out in the clubbing world. I mean, I did actually last year had put some nights off, and one of them was going to be DC10. Mm-hmm. And I guess this kind of, like, answers the question in that I unfortunately was, like, pumped to go, very excited, got there, and it was one of the nights that the council had shut it down for no reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely raging.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, yeah, it has changed. I mean, I think there's still, like, you've got people that are just trying to put it down too much. It's still, like, a magical place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's still got the best parties and the best lineups and the best sound systems, the best production. And you can't control, like, the people that are going. But I don't think it's changed as much as people like to, like, argue that it has. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll never go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it'll always be there. It's gone through so many kind of different forms and surfs. It's always been that number one destination.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's maintained that. So what inspired you then to, like, get some decks or, you know?
So, I mean, you're probably going to hear me talk about my brother quite a lot in this podcast, to be honest. Well, no, I worked for a nightclub. As soon as I started listening to Defected, mm-hmm. like 16, I was like, I need to work for this company. This is like, I was just obsessed. I was a massive, massive fan of everything. I actually did like a music business 2-year, like mini sort of qualification. Mm-hmm. And my whole like thesis and everything was on Defected. Actually, there was a bit that was on Tool Room, which is quite controversial.
All right, okay.
So I wanted to work for Defected, and mm-hmm. I used to just bug Simon all the time, Simon Dunmore, because I met him in Ibiza when I was 18, asked for his email address, and just ask, like, how can I, like, get a job? Is it internships? And his best advice was just, like, just try and get a foot in the door somehow. Mm-hmm. So then I stumbled across a club that was opening in my area, mm-hmm. reached out to them, and ended up somehow at the age of, like, 19, being, like, head PR, head booking, head everything. Yeah. It was so funny, just like basically given the keys to this nightclub and like just told, here you go, like promote it. And I mean, we smashed it. It was so fun. Like, we booked some really fun people. And then I realized that I had a budget of who I was booking, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm wasting like 200 quid here that I could put towards someone bigger and on like warm-up DJs or DJs around it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, why don't I just learn and then I can save money.
Yeah.
I was also, it was one of those jobs where you're doing everything. I was also the light jockey in the club as well.
Right, no way, okay.
So I was behind the decks and I was learning the setups and I was saving it a lot. We had quite a lot of laptop DJs mixing in with USBs and I was like swapping things over. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, like I remember just sort of mentioning it, and then my brother bought me a DJ course. And I mean, these are some of the funniest 6 months of my life because he did it with me too. Mm-hmm. He's also a fantastic DJ. But I would finish my, so I would work. It was on a Saturday morning, 9 a.m. I mean, who does a DJ call Saturday, 9 a.m? Ridiculous. So I would finish work at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. I would drive to his at the Isle of Dogs. He would always, without a doubt, be pissed up, making my sofa bed and half asleep on it while he made it. And then we would get up at 8, so mm-hmm. like have 3 hours sleep, go there, and we'd be in like this little soundproof room with these decks or vinyl, and things would be on loop, and it'd be quite funny because he'd be still a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And they would have like the bass, and it would just be like a 4-beat loop to mm-hmm. practice. Mm-hmm. And he'd just forget what he'd just start like partying to this. And like, do you know what? It really teach me to learn how to multitask.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think part of the reason I'm so calm in the booth when things are going on is because it just used to annoy me so much, and he'd be there and I'd be trying to listen and I'd be trying to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually made me a better DJ.
Yeah.
So that was it. I wanted to save money. I wanted to do whatever I could to get into the music industry.
Yeah.
I never really thought it would get to, I never thought I would enjoy it as much as I did and be as good as I well, I mean, that sounds quite cocky, but like, I didn't think
you,
I'd have.
You've got, a, you've just, your talent deserves
where you are. Yeah, I
didn't
think I would have a talent for it. I think it was just something that I wanted to do at the time because it felt good to save the money at the club. And then it was fun doing something with my brother. And then, yeah, it just kind of went from there.
Yeah, yeah. And when you were doing that course and learning, was it obviously across all formats, so vinyl, digital?
Yeah.
What was your preference? Did you get on with one?
I mean, I know everyone always wants to say like they can DJ on vinyl and stuff like that, and it's like, but I can't recommend enough doing a course like that.
Yeah.
Even just little things like they would tape up the screens. Don't get me wrong, now yeah. I use the screens. I'm always looking because I'm utilizing it in how can I then be doing more with more decks.
Of course, yeah.
Because obviously it's easier to be looking than to be listening to all four tracks. Mm-hmm. But I think just learning that way, and also just like dedicating like 3-4 hours a week to learning a new skill. Mm-hmm. And we had like tasks, so like after I think a month we had to put together our mix and little things like that you don't think about when you want to be a DJ, like record box and how to organize your music, where to buy your music, like how to folder your music in a way that you're going to understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I wish they were called On The Rise Academy. I can't remember them.
Yeah.
I think they're still going. Mm-hmm. They were great. They were just a couple of lads that hired a space in a block and it was just, yeah, I can't recommend doing a course enough or like being taught by someone than just teaching. I know teaching yourself is great, but I learned a lot from that. It's definitely made me like the DJ that I am now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, like you kind of mentioned there as well about sometimes you can get real kind of vinyl purists who kind of a bit snooty about digital DJing. But the way you've described it is that, you know, it allows you to be a lot more creative and use the format to be able to bring lots more to the party.
Exactly.
You know, in terms of working across a number of decks and all those types of things.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So you were DJing in this club. Would you put that down as like a big break, or what was your kind of what would you define as a big break for yourself?
I wouldn't put down, I've always said to people, because like I get people like DM and say like they want to be a DJ, like how do you get into Glitterbox, and like I always say, if you're playing music in front of people, even if it's one person, you're a DJ, like end of. Mm-hmm. And I would never say that there was moments that weren't like big breaks, because being able to, I was playing in front of people. I mean, yeah, I was playing R&B in garage. I mean, fantastic. I actually think my big break, right, I used to, do you know Brentwood?
Mm-hmm.
So I got in with a few of like the lads there who ran a night at the Vine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the Vine anymore.
Right.
But they used to do this Sunday session at the Vine. Bongo Ben, like lot.
He's been on
the Clockwork
podcast.
Orange lot.
Yeah.
And it was just, I would say that was my big break. I'll never forget the first time I went, like Brentwood Girls, Brentwood Girls. And I'm not really like a Towie girl in that respect. Like I probably had, I don't know, some multicoloured Air Force Maxes on at the time. And it was a very like, if you don't, like everyone knew everyone in that. And I went for my first Sunday and like I walked in and everyone was like assumed, I was just sort of like a bit of a DJ, like, I can say whore, DJ whore?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want, honestly. Yeah,
like DJ whore, because I'm just there hanging around. And then for some reason, the guy who ran it at the time, Steve Taylor, was like, just go on tonight, like, because I wasn't meant to go on. And I was like, you sure? And I remember like going on, like it was one of those moments, like it could be in a film, like a cheerleading film, where all of a sudden all these girls were like, like what, like, and I smashed it, like. I don't know, I think it might have been the first time I got to play proper house and stuff. But obviously because I've been playing R&B, I was like looping in loads of R&B stuff. I would say that was my big break. And then from then on, like, people, it used to become a thing and people would be excited that I was going and I would play. And I would say that was my big break, not in terms of like from an outsider perspective of, oh, that you're playing at a little bar in the Vine, but in terms of me thinking, wow, I can do this and like I can make people dance.
Yeah.
And I'm good. I'm a DJ. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say that was my big break,
yeah.
Which is so funny. The Vine in Brentwood. Shout out if you're still going.
We've got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk there about kind of bringing in like loops and things like that. And, you know, you, from all the footage I've seen, if you play, you're often across 3-4 decks, you know, bringing acapellas, looping stuff up, chopping things together. You know, is that something that you taught yourself or inspired by, or did you have anyone you looked to? And
I like, don't know. Oh, I'm trying to think like when that all started. Mm. I think like when I got my first Wild Corner Ibiza set, and I knew that I was going to be like being watched. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite a self-conscious person, and like I couldn't bear the thought of just like playing a track and then like dancing.
Yeah.
And so I think it just kind of happened. Like a lot of the acapellas I play aren't acapellas. They're just, I'll just find a track, I'll loop it, and I'll bring everything else out, which is why sometimes it doesn't work, which is funny because I love it when it doesn't work in the mix, because then it's like authentic and I have to like bring it out and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I think it was just that first set. So that was like 2019. I don't think I was looping and doing much before then. And I think it was purely because people were watching me.
Yeah.
And I felt, and it was a 4-hour set because I was playing before Honey Dijon and she was late.
Mm.
And but you know that room fills up like an instant. Yeah, yeah. And I was just so aware of like everyone around me watching me. And I just wanted to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just happened. And then now it's just like, yeah, my thing. Like now it's become, I have to be careful because sometimes I'm like, just let a song play. Like, because it does get annoying. Like I know it gets annoying. They're like, trust me. But it's like an OCD. And then I'm like, just leave it. You did a loop like 10 seconds ago. You don't need another one. But yeah, I think it was just a natural thing from wanting to be visible and DJing.
Yeah, I mean, in that room as well, like you say, it can be so intense that people are very, very close to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're very kind of self-conscious, like you say, you don't want to just like, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Like, no, I can't. And I'm just like, weirdly, I'm not the best dancer. So, yeah.
DJs
so.
Don't dance, right?
They're no, just, exactly.
I mean, you know, when you're selecting tunes, you know, it's not always upfront stuff you're playing. You know, you're taking in stuff that was before, you know, you've kind of mentioned your gateway was EDM, but you're playing music that's from before that era as well.
Yeah.
Do you kind of pride yourself in being able to create, dig and look back and bring in things that, you know, people are going to recognise?
Yeah, my favourite thing to do is cross the line between like cheese and not cheese, which I know is like at the minute quite a big hot topic. I think someone just played like a Lion King edit or something. All and right. It's like everyone's like, whoa, it's gone too far.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing is to like find tracks where you're like, this will make people remember, and it's still borderline cool. Like this year my track for me was Kylie Minogue, Better the Devil You Know. I can't, when I listened, I was asleep in bed and my alarm came on, it was Magic, and they played it and I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like the instrumentals on this is amazing. And then I'm so excited to play it, and it's like, and then people were like assuming you're playing an edit, and it's like, no, this is the original.
Yeah.
Like, it's my favorite thing to do. But you do have to be very careful when you're doing that, because obviously you do like build a rep of only playing like the cheesy stuff. But I just think just as long as you're finding the line, and that is my favorite thing, is to dig and find the tracks. I mean, I feel like, is there any more? I feel like the last three Wild Corner sets took it all out of me, but there's always some. But like, I play very different to where I am as well.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm at a Glitterbox party, like I'm not going to play Kylie Minogue, Better the Devil You Know, like as in if it's like an actual, not the Wild Corner, but it's like, because obviously I know my job and what I'm doing.
Mm.
So I like to also dig for things that just have a similar sound.
Yeah.
That's also another way of doing it, like finding familiar sounding songs that aren't Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
But could be. And yeah, playing those.
Yeah. And when you're digging, like, how do you do that? Is it, what formats do you use?
It kind of just like, I'll be watching a program and there'll be a soundtrack on it and then that'll send me off on a spin, or I'll be listening to Magic and they'll play Kylie Minogue and then that'll send me off on a spin. And then like, I don't really sit and like try and dig. It's like, I'll get something will pop into my life and then it'll, I mean, obviously I'm really lucky that I work in Defected in the offices. We're all talking about music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've just come from a festival with like 100 artists playing. Like, I'm a big Shazammer.
Yeah.
Which is like, I get told off sometimes because it's songs that apparently everyone knows and I'm really uncool and I'm there like Shazamming, and it's like, I don't know, one of our like key releases. I'm like, well, I'm big into Shazamming, I'd say. That's how I dig. I don't sit and like, look, I Shazam, and I like just keep my ears open, and I get inspiration from like the weirdest things. Like, have you watched the new White Lotus season 2?
No, I've only just watched the first one.
The intro track is like an absolute belter.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just obsessed with it. And that's like, it's very bicep-y actually. And then that's given me some inspo for like, if I ever actually finish any production. But things like that will happen. I'll just be watching a program and yeah, I'll get some inspo.
Yeah, and there's nothing like, sometimes I'm frightened of like looking through my Shazam and then the next thing I know, 2 hours later, I haven't done any like proper work.
Yeah, just Shazamming.
I've gone down a rabbit hole of Discogs and SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because when you find like an artist and then the Spotify, like the similar sounding ones now is like an absolute nightmare because you can just go like off on one for hours.
Yeah,
it's great though.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like when you are digging in that sense and going further back, you often find like you know, the Better the Devil You Know instrumental or something like that.
Yeah.
You find that there were tracks like, oh, there's a different mix of this on this B-side or something.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a thing you can use.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what does it... So you kind of mentioned that you're looking for songs that sound kind of similar and things like that. In terms of putting tracks into your record box and in your sets, what do they have to have for you? What kind of elements do you look for?
I mean, it's very like different. It depends. It so depends on where I'm playing. If I'm playing like as Katie Goodman, separate to a Glitterbox event, or like a Wild Corner set where it's a bit like you can get away with some fun stuff, then it has to have like an element of, I always think of it as, is this the kind of song where I'd turn around to my mate and go, should we go and get a drink now? Or like, do you want to go to the toilet?
Yeah.
And I try and like give myself maybe like one out of every like seven of the songs I play being that kind of song.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll listen to it in that respect and be like, would I go to the toilet during this song? And then I'll pick like a handful. But then if it's like a warm-up Glitterbox set, I would think like, I want it to be the kind of track where you don't really notice the music. It's good, and you're walking in and you're like at the bar and it's like, it's not noticeable, but it's good.
Yeah.
And I'll listen for songs like that where it's just like a nice track, not enough to stand out enough, but enough to just be like a mood setting.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, if we're being honest, if there's going to be like people there that I work with or like the cooler people here, I'm obviously going to make sure I play some of our releases or like things that are cool.
Yeah.
In quotation marks, because like you've got to like play the game sometimes.
Yeah. And you say all the people that you work with, do you feel a pressure to, is there like a lot of competitive spirit here in terms of a good competitive way?
Or? I would say so, but I'd also say it's very just wholesome. It's just like we're all, like everyone loves Defected, everyone loves the releases. Obviously now you've seen downstairs, we've got our own studio inside, so pretty much all of our releases that we release, records that we release, but the artists come in here first, and then it's like, yeah, I would say less competitive and more just like there's room for everyone and everyone wants the company to do well and just full circle moments. So yeah.
And I just want to talk about when you are playing like those fun tracks in a set and finding something that could, you know, it could be a bit risky.
Yeah.
Is that nerve-wracking? Have you ever played something and been like, oh shit, I shouldn't have
done
that?
Was going to bring in Bingo Players. I know, caught up in the middle. I was so close to bringing it in the middle of, you know the one I mean.
Yeah.
The one that everyone's playing right now for some reason, probably because they heard it in my World Corner set, I reckon. You know, it's like, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I was so close. I had it in the breakdown. I'll put the mix up so you can listen. Mm. And I was so close. And then in my ear, I'd cut all the other music and listen to it. And I was like, you can't do that. That's awful. Do not do that. Bring it straight back out. I'm trying to think if I've ever had a moment where I've really, really brought in something bad. Oh.
Do you know the moment you've done it?
Oh my God, yeah, but I loved this.
Yeah.
I played Egg After Party. This was a mental day. I did three gigs in one day.
Mm-hmm.
It was unreal. Like Eastern Electrics, a festival up north, came back down and did the Egg After Party. And by that point, I mean, I'm just done. I'm 7 hours deep into DJing. I've gone for every track I know. I mean, Egg, for God's sake. I'm like, if there's anywhere to not be Glitterbox, this is it. And I played, what's that trance song? Oh, Touch Me in the Morning.
Oh, yeah, Rui Da Silva.
And I felt outrageous and I loved it. I loved it. Like, it was just like, what am I doing? Like, the OG as well, if you listen to it, and that and Playing With Knives back to back, I think. I went on like a bit of a trancey 10 minutes, and Danielle was my best friend at one point. I think she was like, you need to stop now, can you play some like, can you play some like Dave Lee or something? Or like, and I was like, yeah, okay. I think I then went into like first choice, I could show you. But that was really, really fun. I'd love to play that song a lot more. It's so good. It's such a, I've been playing that other trance one quite a lot lately. I can't think about it now, but there's one where you can get away with it a lot more, whereas Touch Me is really, really hardcore trance.
Yeah, yeah.
Great though.
I mean, that sound is kind of coming back in a little bit of a way, yeah.
I mean, what is Glitterbox anymore? What is disco anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, just... Yeah, I think you can get away with most things, especially at 4 a.m. at Egg. Why not? Loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always said, there's no such thing as guilty pleasure. It's just pleasure, right?
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't
definitely
feel terrible for
100%
doing that.
To that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your own productions. Ever getting anything finished off? What's the status of you producing your own stuff?
I mean, me and my brother, right? We just love it. My brother's really good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, really, really good. The problem is, right, like, in this day and age, you can't do anything without a social media following. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. Like, even BBC Introducing, if you want to send a track, you have to send, like, your Instagram handles and your websites. And it's just so difficult because, like, I have the time to make songs, mm-hmm. but I don't have the time to market myself as a new person, because it wouldn't be like Glitterbox, because in my opinion, with disco music, it should always be authentically done, like with instruments. Yep. And mm-hmm. okay, we do have some really good new disco records actually on that, but like, I personally wouldn't want to get involved with trying to make a disco record when like I'm not doing it authentically. Mm. And then with the house stuff, like, I'd have to like obviously reinvent it, and I think it will happen. I will do it. It's just, I'm doing a lot right now. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time, I'm sure. We have the name, we have the brand, we have the records. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's all on me really to, it's just so hard because nowadays, like with releasing music, it's like 50% the record and then, well, not even, it's like 40% the actual record and 60% everything else around it.
Yeah.
And I work at a record label, so I know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many good songs out there that will never get heard or never get anywhere because there's so much smoke and mirror involved in it. And I think maybe like, yeah, I'm a little bit resentful, so I'm like not getting on board with it. And I think eventually I will just like get off my high horse and create an Instagram page.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for now, I'm too busy being that like old grandma in the corner. Like, it's not fair. You can't just be good at anything nowadays. So yeah, it will happen. Watch this space.
Yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Interesting. You mentioned like being a grandma or something like that. I did read on your resident advisor, they describe you as a middle-aged selector.
No, this is right. I can't believe it's still up. Oh my God. Oh. So
we, sorry, I can't, but this is up,
no, I know. I can't believe it's still up. They still haven't taken it down, have they? This was a joke.
Right.
Like middle-aged selector was a joke. Yeah. I was like, the PR girl here was writing it for me and I made a joke about it. Mm. About like, I was like, I'm not young anymore though, am I? Like, I'm not like 18, 19. And they found it funny because they're older than me and they were like, you're 29, like that's young. Yeah. So then we made this joke of middle-aged selector. And then I tell you a really funny story. I was at Ministry of Sound with Jamie 326, right? Mm-hmm. And we're in the smoking area. And he's chatting to me and he's asking me all these weird questions, like about my skin routine, about like how I look so good. And I'm like, yeah. It's a bit weird. Like, what's going on here? And he was like, I hope you don't mind me asking, but like, how old are you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm 29. And he was like, what? And he's like, I thought you were like mid-40s.
Yeah.
And he was like, God. And I was like, what do you mean you thought that? And then that's the first time I found this out. I can't believe I haven't taken it down. And he said, I read your bio and it said middle-aged lecturer. And I thought, God damn, you look so good. Like, he thinks I'm like 45, like looking like this. And that's how I found out about that bio. And they still haven't taken it down. It's so outrageous. I can't believe it's up. That's so bad of me. Hilarious. So yeah, I'm not a middle-aged selector.
No,
yeah.
I was kind of taken aback a bit when I first read it. Yeah, it does follow up with extraordinary energy. So yeah, God. You know.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, imagine thinking I'm 45. I need to. That's that. Actually, I need to write that
Make
down.
Make a note
because that is outrageous. All right. Okay.
I've just been in an interview and right. This has come
is
up.
Still yeah. up. I'm yeah. not middle-aged.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the pressures that you put yourself through. Like physically, emotionally, you know, it's obviously hard work being a DJ, especially traveling around and all yeah. the commitments that you have to have. Mm. You've just come back from Defected in Croatia.
Yes.
You know, we were talking on WhatsApp before the interview about like how broken you felt.
Absolutely
it.
Broken. Croatia for us is like, obviously, you know, in this office, we've got a lot of people that are DJs and staff, and it's a very like jack of all, like no one has one job. Mm. There's not one person in this office that has one job. And in Croatia, it's like it's like SAS camp for this label. I mean, this year was so different because there was like, what? I mean, like 70 of us. Mm. Like when I first started here, we were on the top floor 6 years ago. There was 30 of us. Yeah. I mean, and now that there's like 90 or 100 and we own two floors. And this year was very different. Mm. But it's a 6-day festival where the music starts at 2 p.m. and finishes at 6 a.m. across wow. three stages, an after party, and there is an after party, which isn't actually official.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It's a lot.
You've got a 1,000-yard stare in your eye just thinking back to it, I can see.
And obviously it's great because it's like the community's there, but it's just even if you're not working, you're talking, and it's amazing. I'm guessing you've never
been. No, I've not been, no. I mean, it looks incredible.
It's wild, yeah. I mean, it is the best. I'm not even being biased. It is. Mm. I went when I was a fan in 2016, 15, the year before I started here. And it is like a game changer. And then my first year was like the best week of my life. Like, just unbelievable. It's just like, it's so the crowd and... Like every DJ is there because they love the company, and there isn't one DJ that comes for their set and leaves.
Yeah.
Everyone stays a couple of nights.
Yeah.
And it's just a real coming together of like the house world. Like, that sounds a bit cheesy, but it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's no denying it's 6 days, 6 nights, and we do a pre-party on the Wednesday. Like, what can you do with that? There's no coming out of that alive. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm on the Croatia downer at the minute. It's been a week. We got home a week yesterday.
Oh. Yeah, and you've had gigs in between then
as well. Saturday, yeah, I played just around the corner. Mm. That was a lot because I felt like Saturday morning I just got there, just got back to normal because Thursday night I slept for like 20 hours. It was wild.
Yeah.
And then Friday I think I slept for like 16 hours and I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then I was playing like 12 till 2 a.m. and I was like, oh no. And now I've just been a mess again all week.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the crowd like? I've read so much about it. I've seen so many footage. The crowd is like, oh, people always talk about that. That everyone's there for the music.
And yeah,
it's not necessarily people, you know, like wanting to post it on their socials or with phones out and things like that. Is that a different vibe?
And I think because of the site, it's such a special site. You've got the beach, you've got the waters, you've got the boats. Oh, the boats, four boats every day, 6 days. How many boats is that? 20 boats? Wait, nah, don't. That's 24.
Yeah.
6, 12, 8. Yeah. I'm a DJ, not a mathematician, okay?
You just count to four, that's all you do.
Yeah, I get lost after four. It's like, there's so much going on that it's like becomes more than just like, do you know when you go out beefing, it feels a bit like you get to the point where you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
It's like you wake up and you're like, come on, you've got to get through this. You've got to get there. And it's like, you just like, why am I doing this? And it's like but there it's almost like you know what? If I just want to sit here with a beer, like, and not party today and just like chill, I will. I guess that's why it's so magical that it's 6 days.
Yeah.
I mean, as a customer, I guess that's the silver lining of it being a week long festival is like you've got the time to not have to just constantly be going in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it so special, because you don't have like the really messy people and you don't have like the really like broken people, and it's just like a really good energy all round. And like all of the DJs want to get involved with the fans, so the fans love it.
Yeah.
And the music's amazing. This year especially actually was very good. We had like a lot of people playing a lot of different things.
What was a highlight for you?
We actually, highlight wasn't actually a music thing. Okay. We've been spending about a year working on this thing with Kiddie Smile, a whacking competition. So whacking is like, obviously most people have heard of voguing and the ballroom scene, and whacking is kind of a bit more of a friendlier version. Okay. So where voguing is done in houses and it's competing against each other, whacking is still competing against each other, but in a more like a communal and collective way.
Okay.
And so we've been working really hard to organise a whacking battle on site, which involved 40 participants from around the world,
right,
flown in, and done in a true style that they would do it in their in like the whacking culture.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. To be honest, like the DJ, the music element of it blew my mind, because the DJs, it's almost like a like hip hop or like MCing kind of style, where it's like, it's not a song played out. It's like it'll be very jumpy, and then there's an MC, and it's like, it was amazing. We've got footage on Glitterbox Instagram. Definitely recommend watching. And it was just like, so cultural and wholesome and different, and yeah, seeing like different communities coming together and introducing something to like people that had no idea it existed. That was a highlight for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. And you know, being part of that crew, you've supported, you've mentioned Honey Dijon, Derek Carter, Dimitri from Paris. You've even warmed up for the legendary Cerrone at Coco recently.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, tell us about even maybe one of those moments, or about a moment where you've thought, oh my God, you know, this is taken me to the next level. It's really elevated my career and
I
what
think
I'm doing.
It's got to be. So, funny story, when I first started here, because we have to be very careful of finding people that don't want to just be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's important, but if you're here and you've got a job to do, you've got to be like skilled at the day job as well and stuff like that. And I remember when I first started, like, they were really, really hot on trying to like separate it out, and Simon was like, if you take this marketing job, like, you cannot, that's it, you will not DJ, that's the end of that,
right?
And I really thought it was like put to bed. And then they put me on the Croatia lineup that year, because it was just like, well, because it was like one of those times. And I played like the last day, beach stage set, Tuesday. It was dead. Like, no one was there. And I thought, you know what? Like, I'm sick of house music. Like, it's been 6 days of house music, four to the floor.
Yeah.
And I had this old, like, soulful playlist from maybe like a brunch warm-up. With like Ghetto Superstar and Stevie Wonder and all that stuff. And I played it. And Yaz, his wife, was working at the D-Store stand miles away, nowhere near it, but they had speakers.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know who this is, but it's the best set I've heard all week. And that's, I don't know where I've got off from, completely off topic, but that was how I got signed. So then I got signed from that. And for some reason, they decided, well, firstly, that it was a smart move because I could work and play at the same events. And we had our first New York Glitterbox event, which is an expensive event. This is like 5 years ago, so we're still new. Mm. And they were like, you're going to go work New York and you're going to play. And I was like, what? Incredible. I was like, okay. And it was amazing. Like, Dimitri from Paris was after me. Mm-hmm. My USB that night, I put it in and it said something about that none of the songs had been, they'd all been like downloaded in band mode.
Oh God.
So the BPM wouldn't lock.
Right.
So it was just jumping about all over the place, which was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it filled up so quickly. But it was, and then Dimitri turned up so early, which I can't believe because it's such a small booth, and he was just there behind me for 15 minutes. But that was like amazing. I remember being like, and even just like you land, and then you got your name on the House of Yes flyer, and the that was probably one of those moments that I won't forget. I don't think.
Yeah. Do you ever get starstruck with meeting any of these people that might be heroes to you?
Well, I was such a super fan when I first started that, like, I actually got sat down and told that I need to, like, calm down. And, like, it stuck with me forever. They were like, you work for the company now, like, you're in it. You can't be, like, asking for autographs. But you know what used to get me more than meeting people was the dinners. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my gosh, we'd go to some fancy dinners. Yeah. Like, the first big DJs I think we met, because it was 2017, Camel Fat were a big part of our company because of Cola. And for some reason, I ended up going out for dinner with like them and Wes, who's now our CEO and the A&R manager at the time. And I just remember I remember my brother messaging me, asking me questions to ask them. But all I could think about was the food. It was like this steak restaurant. And it was like just unbelievable. And the sides that were being ordered. So I get starstruck about the restaurant. No, of course I used to. And yeah, like you still have to pinch yourself and be like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But you obviously do become a bit more like everyone's just a human being.
Of course, yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not too cool to be excited about meeting people. I'm trying to think who have I met recently where I've been like, whoa. Oh, do you know what? Little one. Josh Butler came in the other day.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed.
He's been on the podcast.
Has he?
Yes.
Yeah, all I could think about was got a feeling. Like, why would I say that? I have all this, like, why? And I went, I really got a feeling. And then I think I hummed a bit of it. I was like, oh, for God's sake. Like, what? So, yeah, do you know what? It does still happen.
Yeah, yeah. Why did I bring that in?
Like, all right, yeah, that one. I haven't heard that a million times.
No, he's a super nice guy. He's a really,
really nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was one that... he reached out to us, I think, and said that he had listened to the show and wanted to get involved. And his mum was his biggest fan, and she was listening to the show and leaving us comments and stuff.
That's
as well.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
So
I still get a little bit starstruck. I think it's just because I saw him and it took me straight back to like that era, the best era, the era we all think about, let's be honest, 2012, like Duke Jumont, Josh Butler, oh my God, Sankey's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was more that than him.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm it's funny, just mentioned Josh Butler's mum, but a little birdie has told me that your mum is your biggest fan.
Oh, she is my biggest fan. She's really funny because she wants me to be this absolute superstar. And I'm always like, mum, I'm happy with like what I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would be pretty happy with the gigs that I've had. She's like, no, I just want you to be like famous. And I'm like, mum, just like be happy with it. And she's really funny. She wants to be my I might actually let her be my manager soon, to be honest, one day. She's retiring soon.
Well, the momager.
I reckon she could take it, but she is. She is a big fan, although she did say that I played a bit too hard this year in the Wild Corner. She prefers the more disco-y stuff. And I was like, I literally played Kylie Minogue for you, mum. She's like, yeah, but...
Just get some Northern Soul on for
her. Exactly. She'll never clue. Bless her. No, she's great.
That's hilarious. To kind of go back to Ibiza and Wild Corner and things like that, you know, obviously you've played all over the island at different clubs. What would you say is the best energy for you on the dance floor? Is it the Wild Corner?
Oh, it's the Wild Corner, without a doubt. Either that or that New York party was pretty special. Or the Eastern, no, but there's nothing like the Wild Corner. The Wild Corner is like, it's just this space where you can do what you want. Like, you're like, if you've got the crowd, there's this moment, like with all the sets that I've done there, where I look up and I'm like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're all here. It's us. It's me, you lot, for the next 3 hours. I've got some treats and we're just going to have a real good time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I could just play in that room and never anywhere else ever again. Even if it was like once, twice a year, I would do it because it's just such a special room. And like, I have seen it where it's not actually, people think it's just because of the room. I've seen it where it's been a bit flat. Mm. So when like you do have it special and you have got the like energy right, it's just like, it's magical. And then you can drop in what you want and yeah it's good. It's you can't beat the world corner. It's the best room ever.
And whereabouts is a venue, either in Ibiza or in the world or wherever, that you maybe haven't played that you would love to play?
Coco was one of them. Mm-hmm. When they turned that into a club, I was like, I need to play there.
That looked so incredible as
it
well.
Was mad.
That must have been crazy looking out.
I had no idea it was going to be that busy. Yeah. I think I had to play a bit longer as well. Someone was running late. Mm. And it was like a French lineup. So I was like, odd that I was on it, and it was just crazy busy and so much fun. Anywhere else? I've got a taste of the big stages at Eastern Electrics and I would love that. Mm-hmm. But I'm more of a small venue kind of girl.
Yeah.
Like, give me like a little basement space. There's this new club, we were doing a pre-party there in where Bora Bora used to be. It's Playa Soleil, it's a beach restaurant. Mm-hmm. But they haven't, I don't know if they've announced it yet or if they've opened it yet, but they've got this tiny little club back in the back that they're going to start opening because of the sound restrictions.
Yeah.
So when it gets to like 11, they're going to open that and then close all the doors. I mean, that looks like it's going to be like naughty. Like, I really, and I said to them, I was like, please book me. I need to play there. Yeah, I'm more of like just a smaller, like intimate, like when you've got this crowd and you're like all in it for the next few hours. And mm-hmm. like, I know what songs I've got and I know that they're going to love it. And it's like, that's my favorite vibe.
Yeah. When you're there and you're looking the crowd in the eye.
Yeah.
Are there any, like when, you know, we spoke to so many DJs and when they're in that kind of intimate environment, sometimes they'll just pick one person and be like, I'm playing.
Well, it's hard because my mum and my brother and Danielle are always there. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, my brother's a nightmare though, because if I get a mix wrong, I can see his face. And I'm like, oh, there was a few in the wild corner that were a bit rough.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit too excited, a bit too much Prosecco, and I saw his face out of the corner. I was like, oh, no. But actually, my first New York, there was like this group of girls that just kept, like, I mean, this was like 5 years ago, just kept being, like, they were like, oh my God, a girl behind the deck. Like, I just can't believe it. And like, I got them all in the booth in the end and like ended up spending the night with them and stuff. That was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you pick a few people, but it's hard because my mum's always there. I'm looking at her.
Do you get your mum in the booth?
Yeah, she loves it. Although she's more of a, she likes being on the dance floor.
Okay.
Yeah, she likes being stuck in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right in the mixer.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned there about, you know, a girl behind the decks or whatever. I don't want to make like the podcast about like that.
Of course,
that,
yeah.
But you know, do you find that there's a different reaction from males and females to a female DJ?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of times that people think I'm like a tour manager or something, or I mean, the classic, that was really good for a girl. But it's... But you know what? Being the token girl got me signed. And if you can use it and roll with it and then do things with it, why not? And I don't really get it as much anymore. Like, I think that has passed. It's really difficult because even like just looking at lineups now and people say it's still, there's not enough girls out there. And it's like, it's hard to know if like, are there, or is it just that like girls didn't go into it because it was a man's world?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, is it that people aren't booking enough girls, or is it that there's just not enough girls that went into it to begin with?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like a bit more like on the fence with it all. But I don't really think any more you get. I think actually it's positive things. You get girls that are just really happy to see a girl in the booth.
Yep.
I think that's probably more it, as opposed to negatives or like people assuming you're not the DJ. Yeah, it's definitely more, especially at the smaller gigs, girls being excited about seeing a girl in the booth.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, and push on the like the next generation, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Not just a DJ, but to do things that where you normally see a man standing there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that wasn't me, that was my elbow on the table, if you can hear that on the mic.
Cool. I'll keep that in if it picked it up. I mean, what's next for you in your career, do you think? Where do you see yourself in 5 years time?
In 5 years time, it's tricky because, as you know, like, I work for the label. It's always a very head-butting battle because I love Glitterbox as a whole, and it's kind of become an entity of me. And it's like as much of the DJ and as much as like just the like label itself. When I started, it was like just me. And then the creative director Amanda, and it's like still pretty much just us. But this project with my brother, I really want to get started, mm-hmm. really bad. Like, it's especially just because the stuff he's making at the minute, like, I'm around music all the time and I hear his stuff and I'm like, that is just equally as good as what I hear, mm-hmm. if not better. Mm-hmm. And I need to really pull the finger out and just get my head down. That's something I really want to do, the sideline project. I want to see Glitterbox through. Like, Glitterbox is a part of me. It's our 10th year next year.
Wow, I didn't realise it was
that madness. Yeah, I've been crazy. Here for 6 of them. And I would say that, like, the label is more important to me right now than the DJing. But at the same time, I'm getting all these exciting gigs where I get to just be Katie Goodman and I get to go and do things that are, like, separate from Glitterbox. Mm. And so I guess everything is the answer all at once. Just, like, I really need to streamline my decisions. I'm all over the place at the minute. It could be the Croatia Delta.
Well, look, I mean, you know, once you get that project up and running with your brother, you know, we're here, we'd love to talk to you guys about
it. Well, the idea is, because we've got to build the social media, is to put on a party, mm-hmm. because when we mix together, it is fun. Like, we are good. We are great. We've got, like, he's better at the track selections and I'm better at the calmness in the booth and the mixing.
Yeah.
And we could easily do it all night long, bring it just all of his mates, mm-hmm. all of my mates, mm-hmm. just hire a space, get some media down, build a page from that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the first step. So I will let you know.
Yeah.
And maybe this time in 5 years, you'll be talking to me and my brother as and his sister, which is the name.
Okay.
And we'll be rehashing this where I was talking about how we were going to be famous and we'll be like, I don't know, the next... God, I can't think of anyone. Fred again.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah,
yeah. Indeed. And Glitterbox would be amazing, obviously, global, and I would have helped achieve it. And so, yeah.
Well, it's good. You manifested this so far. So,
I know. Yeah. That is true. I do think that, but I think sometimes I'm like, I hang on to the fact that my dream came true really early and then I've sort of coasted ever since.
You've got to get to middle age first, right?
Oh, I feel like literally I was like, I think my dreams came true too fast. Like, literally all I dreamt about from like 15 was working for this company. Like, I remember just like seeing Simon. I remember my first year in Croatia when I went as a fan, he all the staff were on our coach and he called them all off. He was like, I need all the defected staff off for a photo. And I stood up and I was like, not this year, but next year. Mm. And then it happened, which is amazing. But also it's like... it happened and then I kind of just sort of coasted with it. I'm like, job done, dreams came true, over now. So yeah, it's time to definitely go for some new dreams.
Push the
dreams forward. Yeah. Mm. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait to see what happens next, to be honest.
Yeah
great. I mean, you know, we've been talking for long enough to get to the point where we're here to the playlist now. Mm-hmm. So this is the House Culture Perfect playlist. It obviously lives on Spotify.
Yes.
Every single guest has submitted tracks to this playlist. Amazing. Based on different themes. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's over 30 hours long. It's just a
very eclectic, I imagine.
Massively eclectic. Obviously, the themes are a bit eclectic. So, yeah there's some real random stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, even if you put the five I chose, it's like... what a party. I'm actually going to listen to that all afternoon.
Yeah, no, it's a good listen. But yeah, you might get a few kind of like, wow, what's this?
Or, nah, I love it. I'm into liquid drum and bass. I'm into everything. I've crossed the line. That's it. It's everything.
That's it. See what you find. Okay, so we always start off with a catalyst.
Yes.
Do you want me to remind you what you've chosen or can you remember?
I think I can remember. I can definitely remember this one. It was the first song that came into my head.
Yeah. Which is by all means the one you should choose, right?
Otto knows Million Voices. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anyone wants to sit there and tell me this isn't a banger,
it is a banger.
They're lying.
Yeah.
If you can't envision yourself on someone's shoulders or having someone on your shoulders mm-hmm. to this track, don't know what you were doing in 2011, but you clearly weren't living life right.
Yeah.
So I had to put it in there because it was just definitely. If I close my eyes and I think back to me being in a proper club and just like having it off and thinking I love house music or dance music because it wasn't really house, that was it. So yeah, Otto knows Million Voices, a tune.
Well, absolutely, yeah, it deserves its place in the playlist. A floor filler, a kind of go-to floor
so,
filler.
So I mean, I did do this because I felt like I needed to do a little bit of like me bringing in some of my work and my current life. Uh-huh. But also, it is amazing. I can't believe I didn't play it in the World Corner. So Floor Plan, we give the honour. Mm-hmm. So I work a lot on Classic Music Company as well. Mm-hmm. Floor Plan is one of our artists. And this is just absolute, I mean, floor plan are belters anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is, it's just so good. It's like gospel meets house. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I didn't play it in the wild corner. I feel like it's because my mum was there, I'm telling you. And I saw her eyes and I was like, she's not going to like this one. But I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's just real fun. And yeah, it's great.
It's great. And just picking up on that bit there about how when you've done a gig or played a set or whatever, do you sometimes come away and think, oh, I wish I'd played that? Or in the moment,
definitely,
do you always feel like you've succeeded?
No, I definitely always wish I'd played more of our releases. Like, I don't know why. Like, we push so hard for artists to play them and they're so good. And then, yeah, I come away and I'm like, what? There's like 3 new Glitterbox tracks that no one's heard of yet. I think it's really, that's the problem though. It's hard to get like caught with the familiar.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I'm annoyed with the Wild Corner. Once you've got them locked in, you can drop some things that they don't know.
Yeah.
But you get so, it's like such a high when like you're dropping Dreamer and everyone knows the words. And so it's like, yeah. I wish, my only wish is that I play more, but I will, like Dream Valley, I'm playing next week, middle of the afternoon, and I'll definitely, it'll be back to back upcoming releases and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I do wish I played some more of our own stuff sometimes.
You can do that next time.
Next time.
Yeah, okay, so a Sunsetter, perfect track for a
Great
Sunsetter.
Bonner, fam, baby, I'm yours. And I can't believe, so they were closing Barbarella's this year, which is a Sunrise open set.
Yep.
And I know the boys well, and they didn't play that as the Sunrise track. And I was like, what? And they promised me they were going to. And I was there with my phone. I had the video man at the back ready. I've got thumbs up. And then they cut at 6. And I was like, what? I mean, it's a track.
Yeah.
It's so stunning. They actually got, they're really funny boys. And at Ministry of Sound, they were very drunk. And we got them a mic, and Earth, who's the voice, Earthan, he sung it live, which was funny and great. It's just a beautiful track, isn't
it? It's absolutely beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. One of my favourites. Makes me feel good inside.
Good. And something that might make you feel good inside or not is a tearjerker. So what have you chosen?
Oh,
here?
I chose Churches. Didn't I? Uh-huh. Do you know what? I would change that now.
Oh, right, okay.
Only right as of today.
Yeah, why not?
So I've been listening to a lot of Liquid Drum and Bass.
Yeah.
I'm going through, like, do you know what it feels like? It's very exciting. Do you know when you love EDM and you find Deep House?
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that, right?
Yeah.
It was only from running. So I started doing this charity campaign at the start of the year, and I was running quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And the pace of Liquid Drum and Bass is fantastic. It's like, perfect. Got in it through that. And then me and my brother were like, I think we like it a bit more. And we started listening to it out of the running.
Yeah.
Not the scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been wanting to go to our first drum and bass event, like, but we're too scared because it gets scary when it goes jungly and all the MCs are out. You're like, oh, no, make it stop.
Yeah.
But Hospitality in the Woods is this Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. And we are going. So all week I've been listening to, like, the big Liquid boys that are going to be there.
Yeah.
So Sub Focus aren't going to be there, but there's a few people they've done their album with. And there's this song called Sub Focus, I Found You, on their new album.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it makes me feel things. Every morning this week, because I've been on the Croatia downer, I've been going through a little bit of a heartbreak as well.
Right.
So I've just been waking up and I've just been whacking this song on. It's just a shame because it's only 3 minutes on Spotify. They haven't released the extended version. So it's got to be Sub Focus, I Found You now. And it's just, if someone tells me they don't like drum and bass, which I would have done this time last year, and you listen to that song and you tell me you don't like it, you haven't got ears.
Well, it's good to get that stuff into the playlist.
Put it right in there. Sub Focus, I Found You.
Great.
Banger.
We'll check it
out. Tearjerker.
Good choice. Okay, so a last tune. It's the end of the night. Crowd are asking for one more. You did give me two choices.
I did give you two. And then you said pick the one that has a memory or like put. And so I went with Stevie Wonder, Signs He'll Deliver, because last year, Wild Corner, it went on for like a very long time. I was meant to finish at 5. And it was 10 to 6 and I had to stop. Like, we'd gone on as long as we could. The whole club was closing, which never happens.
Yeah.
And then I switched off the music, but everyone was like, my mum got so into it though. She didn't get the bloody moment I played it. She's got everyone going, one more song. And then she cuts out because she gets too excited. But I then, for some reason, I mean, I was going through so many USBs that night. I don't know what was going on.
Mm.
It was just there. It was like, I don't know why. I don't know what folder it was in. I don't know why I've got Stevie Wonder Signs Still Delivered, probably from a wedding folder. But I just looked down on one of the decks and it was just there, ready to go, lined up, press play. And I mean, what a song.
It's incredible.
it was just fantastic. So yeah, that, I mean, yeah, great track, great moment, great memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sending everyone out the door smiling and singing that song. Yeah.
Like, imagine that, everyone 6 a.m. in Ibiza singing Stevie Wonder, hugging each other. Just fantastic moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's what those moments are made for.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, that's it. We always have a final question, which is, you know, obviously we are House Culture. You are on the House Culture podcast.
Yes.
You know, the whole culture of house music and, you know, dance music and the whole scene that exists because of the music.
Yeah.
You know, how do you kind of square it with yourself, like your place in that? And what does the scene kind of mean to you, and what has it brought you?
I mean, the scene for me, it's actually like in a bit of a sad place at the minute, just because I think too many people have come into it without remembering where it's come from.
Mm-hmm.
I always see myself as like a, what's the word? Not that I don't belong, I do belong, but like I'm so grateful to be allowed to be a part of it because it's not mine.
Yeah.
The roots, LGBTQ roots, black roots, so much history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always so important to be so respectful of where the scene come from.
Yeah.
And probably got a bit deep there, really, didn't I? It's because of the meeting I had before this, we were talking about it. But I mean, I see the scene as a special place still and creates so many memories. And just, I think it's important that people still just sort of like remember how it started and where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the new age people that turned 18 through COVID.
Yeah.
You've got kind of like this new wave of people that are found their way into the scene, and I don't think they know why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that quickly we get back to like the reason it was so special is because everyone knew why they were there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's important that we get back to that. And yeah, I mean, it's always just going to be the best, isn't it? House music forever. Although maybe now liquid drum and bass. So, gosh, could be jumping ship liquid this time next week.
Yeah, that liquid drum and bass set in the wild corner.
Oh my gosh, don't tempt me, because I've already been looping I Found You, like just the vocal bit and figuring out what I can do with it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's going in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Look forward to hearing it. Cool, thank you so much. That's
Thanks
it.
For having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That was fun.
House Culture.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? Thanks for Katie for sitting down with us at Defected HQ and for sorting out such an iconic location to chat. I don't know about you, but I'm not only looking forward to hearing what Katie does next, but I'm also pumped for that inevitable liquid drum and bass set. Thanks for sharing that hilarious resident advisor bio story with us. I can confirm that it's now been changed, so poor Katie won't have to fend off any more awkward questions about her skincare routine. And if you want to catch Katie out there in the wild, she'll be playing at the Defected Malta Festival that is taking place from the 6th to the 8th of October 2023. Tickets are still available from all the usual places. Those tracks that Katie submitted to our playlist can be found over on Spotify. Just search for House Culture Perfect Playlist and give your eardrums a tingle with a brilliant selection of tracks chosen by all of the guests that have previously appeared on the podcast. Of course, you can now leave us a comment on Spotify about this episode in the description area, or leave us a review if you're listening on Apple. Fan feedback fuels the fire of this show, and we love to hear your thoughts. Say something nice. Be sure to give you a shout out on an upcoming episode. So, this is why I'd like to say a huge thank you to DJ Guy from Cardiff, who took the time out of his day to write us a review on Apple that said, after discovering our Terry Farley episode and then following it up with our Ashley Beadle chat, he thinks the conversations are brilliant and says how important it is to document the history of the music and of the people involved in it. Guy, that is exactly what we are here for. I couldn't have put it better myself. To all listeners, if you want to stay on top of what we do at House Culture, please follow our Instagram at HouseCultureNet or follow the hashtag TrueHouseCulture. And if you want to get in touch with me directly, you can do that on Instagram at DJ Matt Rouse. Thanks for listening. Rave safe and see you next time.
House Culture.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.